Hello.
Good afternoon.
Why do I feel like I start every single show saying hello? By the way, I never say that in real fucking life. Ever.
Ever.
Anyway, this is the Love Bite.
It is a Love Bite.
I'm totally not prepared for the show. I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And we have people.
And guess what? I got a present. I got a gift.
You did. You want to tell everybody what your gift was and from whom?
The lovely gypsy that's sitting next to me gave me a butt plug. And it's not just any butt plug. No, it has a little bunny rabbit end on it. And then she gave me some bunny ears, too.
Ears are custom made for you specifically by the Red Vinyl Kitty and her Mewtwo.
How exciting.
Right? I'm so excited.
It was a secret email that went out between Red Vinyl Kitty and I saying, Nancy is going to get this and she needs these perfect blah ears. Bunny ears to go with it.
Just the in color time was for picked. The groove.
Yes. The color was picked specially for you. And she made them with you
really,
in mind.
They picked white? I would have
no,
totally
I
gone with
it.
Brown.
Brown, that's true. She's a brown bunny. But I just thought, she's white on the inside.
Just like you!
No, I'm not. I'm totally brown on the inside. I'm glitter on the inside.
Well, that's true. You might even be pink glitter on the inside.
Pink glitter and marshmallow fluff.
Well, I think that your daddy, Phoebe, can actually be the one to reference that better than the rest of us. I've never tasted her insides, so I don't know.
They're pink and glittery.
Pink and glittery. Doesn't the glitter kind of, doesn't it mess with your, you know,
situation?
You know, really?
You fight through something.
Oh, yes.
It's not a real struggle.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it. So I'm totally stoked because Jeremy worked his ass off to make the lighting in studio significantly different. Y'all who've never been here at Skid Row Studios, which is a totally professional outlet, believe it or not, nobody believes this. It's super professional, but it's always had the fluorescent lights, which I've never, it's never been an issue. I never really even thought about it. It just is what it is. And now we've got all of these colored lights, and it's very intimate. You could really, I could totally see if we were doing a one man show, you'd be smoking a cigarette. Not that you're allowed to smoke cigarettes in studio, but you'd be smoking a cigarette and you'd be yeah, man, getting all deep and into what your shit, because it's all moody now.
Yeah, but it kind of makes me want to spread my legs.
It is.
Everything
romantic,
makes you want to spread your legs. You're a fucking whore, or you want to be a whore.
Well, maybe we're in the right setting now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All of Nancy's dates are now at
Skid Row Studios.
Done.
So, Jeremy, you're officially the pimp now because you need to set it up so she can come here and get laid in Skid Row Studios.
Yeah, no problem.
And just have the camera running, please.
Okay.
Me. Good.
Awesome. I'm seeing the ad now. Beautiful lesbianer available for sexy
lesbianer.
Dates.
Lesbianer? Did you just call her a lesbianer? Yes! That's
and
it.
Race play within the first few minutes of the show.
Awesome.
Isn't she? She's the only person you refer to that.
Yes, that's important, Nancy. Everything. I'm a custom type of girl.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, I like to make things easier. The fewer names I can remember, the better.
Yeah.
Makes my life easier. Well, and so when we heard that our fantastic friends, Gypsy and Phoebe, were coming down, whom we love very much.
So much.
Because they're good people. I was just like, oh my God, let's have our topic be monogamy. Because mm-hmm. we've had a lot of attention put on poly.
Yeah.
And it was funny because when I was talking about that's what our topic was going to be, there's some people on Twitter that said, that exists. And I was like, you know what? It depends on how you define it. Just like poly, there's going to be as many definitions for monogamy as there is for polyamory or polysexual or whatever it is you want to call it. There's going to be just as many definitions because it is entirely up to the two people that are participating in the relationship. So, y'all can judge all you want and be thinking that mono is a boring, but you know what? I guarantee you, not that I've seen them have sex, although I've been promised I get to. I hear that their sex is pretty awesome.
That was mock sex.
I didn't get to see it.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. You weren't there. I'm sorry.
You were there.
Sorry, man.
I was there for the fighting and the not sex.
Oh, yeah.
I was not there for the sex.
Mm-hmm.
Who was there then?
Not me.
I know that Lola was there.
Lola. It was Lola.
And Sub Girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just Lola and Jen.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were there, but you weren't.
No. Oh, no, wait. No, I was there.
Because, you were there.
Oh, yes. I remember leaving at your bed.
There were three people. Because I remember I should, like, make eye contact with everybody.
No, I saw him, like, you know, give you many orgasms, but there was no sex. I mean,
That's what I said. It was
you had
fake
pants on.
Yeah. So. I had on my yoga pantaloons. No, it was fake sex. Pretend.
But it was real orgasms.
Yep.
Okay. To me, that's not fake.
That's true.
Works out pretty well.
But I think that when people hear the word monogamy, they think vanilla.
Yeah.
Automatically.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, I mean, we're kinksters, we're more open, and we do very risky things. But somehow, for whatever reason, monogamy's not in there. I mean,
yeah. And I mean, all the cool kids are poly. You know, and if you're not, you're like, oh, you're just not evolved enough to be I get it. When you grow up, you'll be poly, which is like awesome. That's, hey, you know what? You want to be poly, you want to be mono. Who the fuck cares? Why are you invested in my relationship?
Well, one of the things that I remember hearing often was, it's selfish of you to expect your partner to get everything from you in relationship because, you know, any one friend doesn't fulfill everything for you and any one this. And I just, like, I remember thinking, like, what do you mean it's not necessarily fair to put pressure on someone? If someone agrees to be in a relationship with you, then whatever the responsibility is the responsibility of the relationship.
But again,
I didn't understand that.
That's so narrowly defining the term monogamy.
Oh, definitely.
That's saying that, oh, well, if you're monogamous, it means that you get everything from one person. Well, you know what? Nobody gets everything from their partner. Nope. Nobody.
Because everybody has friends and
support groups and family and other people where they get other kinds of emotional fulfillment and satisfaction.
Definitely.
You know what? I don't have an expectation that my partner want to go to my sappy movies or to musicals and I'm going to sit there and be a crying, bawling mess. I don't have that expectation.
No.
You know, Nancy, love her. We went and saw Les Mis together. She didn't fucking cry, which of course means she's heartless. But Nancy. It was still one of those things where, you know, that's awesome. That's something that she and I did, which is great. But, you know, she would be horrible at a hockey game.
Yes.
You know?
Excuse me?
You'd be bad at a hockey game.
I would?
Yeah, you don't, you know. I don't think, do your people get it?
I don't get hockey.
Her ruthless nature.
See, the black woman doesn't get it, and I think the brown woman doesn't get it.
I think hockey is like soccer, right? Because hockey is the same as soccer. Aren't they all the same
thing? Hockey's not the same as soccer.
Someone runs around.
Is that offensive? I'm offended.
People run around and try to get their ball or whatever into the other side's area or whatever.
What do you call them? She doesn't call them games.
They're episodes. They play on TV. It's an episode of football. And they play old episodes on ESPN or whatever.
And the Super Bowl is the season finale?
Yes.
I've heard her ask, Daddy, is this a repeat episode of football?
Oh, my God. That's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, some seasons have more episodes than others. Like the baseball has lot of episodes.
I don't like it.
And the football only has like 16.
One a day.
Well, you know, one a day.
Week.
Well, 16 weeks.
Okay. No. Okay. So monogamy, like for me, in my case, with my relationship with my beautiful daddy, who I love. I am, like, I don't expect to get everything from him, but the key things that are important to me, I'm getting from him right now. And I don't have any desire to look outside of that. Does that, if that makes any sense? Like, I can see a lot of
specificity would be helpful.
Yes, I'm going to start. But, like, I have in him, I have a friend, an amazing lover, and daddy, boyfriend, fiance. He's going to be my husband. Because he loves me. And I'm a little bit silly right now. No, but, like, seriously, like, I don't, they're all of the things that I need to get from him, I get from him right now. Not just emotionally, but also, like, financially, like, support-wise, like time. We're getting all of those things from one another. So there, if there's something else that I guess we need to look outside for, I don't know if that would come up. I think I would first be most interested in if there was something else that I wanted, like approaching him with it first.
Well, but my point is that even though you two, the way that I would at this time define your relationship as monogamous is that you are sexually monogamous with one another.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Emotionally, though,
yes.
You both get support from multiple places.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's not just one, you know, it's and that's the idea, you know, and one, if that means that that's how somebody wants to define themselves as poly, then that's fine. But that's not generally most people when they hear the word poly, they think sex.
Right.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, where and you know.
And we're romantically monogamous with one another as well.
Right.
And see, that's when I think about monogamy, that's what I think of right there, that you are monogamous romantically. That, you know,
not sexually, just romantically,
just romantically.
Okay.
That there's just that one other person that you get those butterflies in your stomach.
Yeah.
That you get all sappy about. But it doesn't have to be sexual in nature. I mean, people, I mean, I think of us and I mean, you play with other people. I mean, I know for damn sure I like to pimp you out because, you know, you're awesome and stuff. But I mean, and in that sense, I mean, if we want to put it in terms of monogamy or whatever, we're not really monogamous in that way. But I feel like we're monogamous in like a power exchange way, definitely.
Right.
You know, but we're not monogamous romantically. It's two totally separate columns, very separate. And so when I look at them, when I look at wonderful little Gypsy and her daddy, they personify that the romance that it's just them two, and it's so special, and it's only theirs. It only belongs to them. It doesn't belong to anybody else.
Yes, there's no one else has any investment in it. I mean, I know. Thank goodness.
I'm invested. In
I know
too.
That's what I'm obsessed about.
You most certainly are.
I am invested.
Well, but
I don't want to have a bad, you know, rate of marriage.
No, but you know what? You have been from the beginning, if you think about it. That's
absolutely
what I was just going
have.
To say. You, Nancy, Jen, even Charlie, you know, like everybody was like rooting for it. And I remember feeling that.
Don't forget the Dirties.
Oh, the Dirties. Oh, my. The Dirties. How could we ever forget them? But I remember getting messages and, you know, encouraging words from everyone. So in that sense,
me too.
I know that. Yes, you too. I know that we have. And then not just that, our families, our friends, our coworkers, everyone who knows us individually and together is like, yes, you guys, yes. Whatever it is you need, do it. Like, work it out. Talk to him about that. You know, that from the beginning, we had that. And I think that. But it still doesn't mean that we're being poly with all of you.
Right, exactly.
It's to me, I think that even the relationship the two of you have is very individual. I think that people could say that although he and I are with one another only, if we had another relationship, would we be, you know, would we then become poly some... I don't know what I'm saying right now.
A couple of the adjectives we've thrown around were fluid. Or structured. I mean, right now, today, this is working for us.
Right.
And not just working for us, but we're working on it as well.
I was going exactly there
the
next.
Only way.
Something that, Emily Pryor was on. And she said every day or every few days, she and ProVillain check in. Where are you at? How are you today? You know, what's going to happen with us the next week? You know, not necessarily big, huge relationship changing issues. Sometimes they are, most times they're not. It's, you know, getting through, I hate to use the word, but just the mundane stuff of existence. And then when we get all our ducks in a row, then whatever we want to do, we do.
Well, that's about maintaining a 24/7 relationship. And I'm not even talking about power exchange. I'm just talking about a real life 24/7 relationship because honest to God, those little things, they will build up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's why
of build up, though.
No, we both make the effort.
Exactly.
Yes. And I have to make sure that I express myself. Like, I think some people think it's aggressive to constantly like tell someone else. And I don't mean constantly. Like I don't every 5 minutes.
No, she's not nagging or berating
Nothing like that. But like I don't have, when something starts building up, I need to say it. Then, and I make sure I say it. I don't want to like have anyone guessing what I feel. And I don't want to guess what other people are feeling when it comes to like their relationships with me. I don't want to have to guess or think about it or worry about it. Like if I see something that I'm doing that is making, you know, making him uncomfortable, or if I see something that he's doing or saying or not doing, I make sure I say it. And I think that's really important. Like everyone always says, communication is so important. Open communication is important in poly, so everyone knows where one another stands. And not everybody's doing that. They might be talking it, but they're not really doing it. Because if you haven't checked in with, you know, all of the people in your life, in this extended life, then things are really falling apart around you, even if you don't know it. And that's the same thing with us and our, monogamous communication.
Yeah.
I have to say that it, you know, hurt my feelings that he didn't want me to hang all of my pictures all over the apartment and my vintage Vogue poster, or I guess not vintage technically, but still, you know. But anyways,
but the open communication thing, that honest communication doesn't just make you a better poly partner or a better mono partner, whatever label you want to start. It makes you a better person. It makes you a better friend. It makes you a better citizen. Mm-hmm. The more you lie, the more you have to remember. The more you have to keep track of. And
that's even lying to yourself.
Yeah. And because then you have to keep the story straight in your own head.
Yeah.
So I think we've both been in situations where honesty and communication were not at the forefront. And we've both seen, and I think everybody has seen how that can just go awry and everything can fall apart. Not just the relationship, but you know, how you feel about yourself and whether you're the one deceiving or being deceived, that can have ramifications for how you feel about yourself, how you trust other people. And I think we're both at the point where we're like, we're going to do this honestly. And even if it's painful, the things we have to say to each other, I'd rather hear it now than be lied to about it. Or I'd rather make you feel uncomfortable for 3 minutes than lie to you about this thing.
No, that's really important.
And we're on the same page with so much shit. It's crazy. So it's not like I don't feel compromised being with you at all.
You should never have to compromise.
Freaking enhanced.
For sure. He's totally enhanced.
Not like, you complete me. Not like some hokey.
But you're totally enhanced with me.
Oh, hell yeah.
I make you sparkly. You know, because
it's because of your glittery insides.
It's because I've been eating all that pink glitter.
Exactly.
It's starting to come out through my pores.
But by that I mean, like, the same way he makes me sparkly. Like, you know, in all the cartoons, the girl looks or the whoever looks at the, you know, the courtier looks at the you know, object of their affections, and they're like, oh, and that object is the sparkly one. But the way that I feel is like just being with him makes me feel sparkly inside.
Yep.
Nothing outward.
He's the bonus round.
Yeah.
He's the bonus round.
I'm thinking of Mortal Kombat now. I don't understand what's the bonus round.
I love Mortal Kombat. I love that you brought that up. Okay, we're going to talk about that later.
Which one is Mortal Kombat?
Nancy wins. Yeah.
So, I mean, but it's the concept that, you know, you have, you know, you're your own person. You have your job, you have your hobbies, you have whatever. And that being in a relationship doesn't necessarily make those things different. You're still you. That makes the relationship be this extra thing, this bonus where, it doesn't, you're not relying on the other person to make you whole. You're already whole by yourself. So if you're already whole and then you're in a relationship with someone else who's also whole, I mean, it's just, it elevates you.
Definitely.
Okay, that's not what I heard her say, but that's
elevated
cool.
Together.
I
oh, the sparkly.
The sparkly. I mean,
no, that is exactly what I mean. Like,
Okay.
It's not only what I mean. That's both.
Here's
part
where
of
I
it.
Was going with the sparkly is that, you know, you're you and you're fine and you're happy and you're radiant all by yourself, or anybody is them and they're fine and they're happy and they're radiant all by themselves.
Yes.
But when they get with that one person,
yes,
then the two get together and the radiance just, it triples. It's so much more than just two.
Yes.
That's what I got from your sparkly.
Yes.
Sparkly.
That's what I meant by bonus round.
They're both right.
Yeah,
I'm not saying nobody's wrong. It's not a wrong or right. It's just a bonus round confused me because I have little Japanese memes in my head that are fighting. And
I don't know what's happening right now.
I don't know what's happening either.
You should have played more Mortal Kombat.
I don't even know what that means, Mortal Kombat. It sounds like
it's a game.
It sounds like fighting to the death.
Yeah, it's a game.
About
a
fighting
game.
To the death?
Yes.
Yes.
Is the game non-descriptive? I mean, because it sounds pretty descriptive to me. Mortal
fighting to the death.
Combat.
Yeah. This is going to happen.
I'm sorry.
Before your wedding day, we will play Mortal Kombat.
Go to a video game arcade.
No, it's on the iPad.
Oh.
I think I'll have to re-download it, but I've had it.
Well, I'll give you the password to my Wi-Fi at my house, and we'll be doing some Mortal Kombat at my house. And then maybe we can do some Modern Warfare 3 if you want. Just saying later.
Gypsy wins.
I'm lucky. I'm always lucky at new games.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do that. Wow, that took a strange spin. Right,
awesome. I'm sorry.
These things are important.
And this is a new game you've been lucky at.
What's that? Love? I don't know. What do you mean? I'm lucky at love. I am lucky at love. But I really need you to tell me what new game I've been.
The whole monogamy thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know. I wouldn't say that necessarily. I've been in monogamous relationships. I never considered them anything other than I had no... the words weren't there for me, you know? So, in an exclusive relationship with someone. And during that relationship, it was always exclusive. I did for a while when I left the last city I lived in before I lived in the city I live in now. I left the boyfriend at the time and was like, this relationship, it had already been over for several months, and that's why I was leaving. But I was like, hey, this is it. It's over. And I was like, I'm going to go, you know, on. And there was a whole really sad begging moment of, please, you know, just.
I hate that.
Yeah, it was really sad. Like, it was really, really sad. It was heartbreaking because it was one of those things is where I tried for so long. And it was like, it's done. It's over. I can't anymore. But he was crying for a different reason. And I felt bad for that. But when I left. I was, in my opinion, I wasn't in a relationship any longer, but I felt bad for him because it was one of those things he kept telling me and that I was like all he had and his mother was sick and it was like just a whole thing. And that's what led me on a path of like, you know, I kind of have a boyfriend, but I don't because we live in different cities and we don't even talk to one another. But in name only type of weird thing. But I was like, flooding, so whatever. But I don't have to do that this time. I guess what I'm saying is that I was afraid to hurt his feelings and tell him the relationship was definitely over and I had already moved on with my life. And I know that with Daddy, I don't have to do that. I don't have to be afraid to tell him something about how I'm feeling at all. It doesn't, like, it happened immediately always. But I try not to let it fester and say something. And I begged him too in the beginning, just tell me what is upsetting you right now. Like you can see it on his face. And it was like, just tell me. Like I promise you, I'm not gonna get angry with you for telling me something. I might not like what I hear for whatever reason, but at the same time, I'm not gonna get angry that I heard it. Like I'm going to feel bad, if anything, that I made him feel that way, or I hadn't listened, or I missed something, you know. And I think that is most important. Again, in this type of relationship, you just have to be able to be honest and not be afraid.
Yeah, and I think one of the points that you made earlier, Gypsy, was that not just being honest with your partner, but being honest with yourself, which sometimes is the hardest thing to do.
Yes,
is that to accept whatever it is that you're feeling, because sometimes accepting the idea that I don't want to share you.
Yes.
When you might have come from a past where all you did was share. You and other people and everybody around you, it was all just a big old orgy of shit.
Yes.
And so when you come into a situation and you're like, I don't want to share you, but I have to get used to the fact that I'm not sharing myself anymore, or, you know, and that, and it's difficult to accept that even in yourself and be honest with yourself on some level. And that can take some time.
And we were at that point early on when we first started dating. Like, I wasn't seeing anyone. I was trying to see a few people. I had like one or two like friends with benefits type of situation. But I wasn't involved in anything serious, and I had no like desire to get involved with anything serious. And when I met him, he had someone that he was seeing as well. And it just kind of, over time, both of those relationships fell away. His other relationship, and then my interactions, as it were.
No, it was the other way around. Because remember, you said, Daddy, I'm not going to see anybody else but you that one day.
There was a discussion about, like, I told you, it was, why is that different than what I said?
Because you offered yourself on a silver platter, which is really sweet.
She did. And when she did, it got me thinking. It was like, wow, because I was...
Exactly.
I was very guarded about being with one person again. Because I had been and burned and history, moving on. And then I met her, and we were both... however you want to label it, whatever, spending time with other people.
Interacting.
Genitalia was with other people's genitalia from time to time.
And when she said that to me, it was like, wow, so she likes me like that. Well.
Capital L.
She likes me.
For sure.
And that just, it got me thinking, and it really wasn't a difficult thing. It wasn't. Yeah. It was not a difficult decision to make. I don't know. She's just really serious. She's so cool and nice and fun and loving. And I was like, you know, I still have my trust issues. I'm not even going to lie. You know that because just lots of bad stuff. But whatever.
Yeah.
She has done nothing but, you know, her best to assuage any of those things. And that just makes everything else better. And I don't. It's not that I don't mind. I like what we have going because it's...
Me too.
We can depend on each other for anything, and you know, it sounds so hokey to say, but it's like it's supposed to be if you're going to be with one person.
It's fulfilling.
Yeah.
For sure.
And when we first started talking back and forth, we were texting and phone calls and emails because my folks were coming to town, so we didn't get to even meet for a while. And it was like we knew all this stuff about each other. It was like some seventh grade pen pal type weirdness. And it was like, wow, I know all this stuff about this woman. And I've only seen her like once or twice. And then we started hanging out. And
there's an ability to be more emotionally honest when you're not doing it face to face.
Yeah. And we started with that for sure.
That's why, I mean, some people bare their souls on Twitter or in their blogs because... they don't ever have to look in someone's eyes and say these words.
Right.
You know, and it frees you in a lot of ways.
And it's not just a negative thing, because so often when people talk about that or think about that, it's like, well, you're not having any censors out there, so you can say whatever you want, and it's often a mean-hearted thing.
It can be.
It can be, but...
But when people are being emotionally honest, it's not, because most people I don't think are truly emotionally mean people, you know? I think those people that are mean are just, they're hurt, in my opinion.
Yeah.
By that.
And it was interesting because I was having a conversation this morning with a couple ladies on the Twitter, and it was about monogamy and about this, none of us are accustomed to, not specifically monogamy, but being happy with one person. I think that's the key.
It is.
Just being happy with one person. And I'm a very strange person. I'm always looking at the exit. Like in life and in physicality, you know, I'm always, like if I, here at Skid Row Studios, I'm actually in a very inconvenient location because I'm not right next to the door.
Yep.
If I had a choice, I would be right next to the door. Whenever we're sitting at a restaurant,
I have to be on the outside. Whenever we're going, you know, to a movie, I want to be on the aisle. You know, I have, that's just, I don't want to be caged. It's, that is like my number one fear in life, is to be caged. And so the fact that I willingly walk into, it's not even a cage, but I willingly walk into this. And yeah, it's open. I can leave anytime I want, but I willingly walk into this and I choose to stay, is something that I have to just, you know, if I look at it like that, I'm like, whoa. But I don't look at it like that often, because I'm just happy. So, yes. But that's you're right.
A really good description of what we have going on too.
Well, there, that's our show, guys. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
You're quiet, Nancy.
I'm just listening to the Love Fest.
I'm not getting any shit for my sappiness. Am I getting any shit for that?
You are being very, like, sappy. You know what it is? It's the intimate lighting.
It is. Jeremy, it's the intimate lighting. God bless you. Except for, you need, like, tinting on that glass.
Oh, no, there you go. Cool.
It's just, like, if there was tinted, it'd be so much better. That's better. Now we feel all sexy again. Or intimate. But yeah, I'm all emotionally lovey-dovey, and
that's good. It's a beautiful thing.
It's not a bad thing.
I've always been one of these people who I've never been looking for a, like, that, you know, special relationship. But I've been
running from that.
Yeah, well, and that's a lot of people are, and I've actually myself too. Like, I used to like to put up a lot of walls, just because, and I still do. I have, like, a lot of things. I have walls, but certain people are allowed in now, you know? But I've always been a fan of love, and I've always rooted for love for everyone. People I don't know, you walk in passing and I see someone holding hands and I'm like, yeah, you know,
I secretly snipe them in my head.
No,
you can't do that anymore.
I can't do that anymore. I can't in good conscience do that anymore.
Yeah. See,
now I have to be like, now I get that little smile.
Yes, and I've always been that way, whether I was single or in a relationship or not, even in a bad relationship. I've always, you know, wished well for people. I root for families and people being in love, whatever, you know, you consider to be your family, love relatives, you know, adopted, everything, whatever it is, I root for that sort of thing. So it's, to find it is just, like, crazy. What?
Yeah, normally when I have friends of mine who come and say that they're going to get married, I go, for the love of God, why? Why? You can just live together. You don't have to get married. What's the point? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get divorced? It's not easy. Don't do it. I'm telling you. Just, you know, separate checking accounts. I'm telling you, you might want to just, are you sure you really want to do this? Really? Because you really, it's forever. It's not a joke. Are you sure?
It's not. Because at some point. It's totally not a joke. You know, I'm listening.
And then, you know, to go further, that I been asked to officiate
yes,
your wedding.
Yes, you have.
And the collaring.
And now I'm an ordained minister in the state of California.
I didn't know about that second part. I'm so excited.
I remember that was a fun exchange, because I texted you and I was like, can you do this? And you're like, maybe, let me look into it. And then what, 5 minutes
later? It wasn't
later,
even 5 minutes.
Thank God for the internet.
Yeah, she comes right back. She's like, I'm going to marry you. I'm ordained.
I'm an ordained minister. It's easy. You know, and the great thing, I mean, I'm an atheist. I'm sure I'm not the only atheist minister out there, but here I am. So,
and this is perfect, because so are we. So.
Right, exactly. It works out. There'll be no God present. There'll be spirit and love.
See, then, yes. Then now you really can't be all, like, judgy about sappy people, because you're joining two people together.
I know. So. I'm super invested now.
Yeah.
You're totally invested.
Yes, so everybody, I'll marry other people too, but I have to be invested in you, like I'm invested in them.
Well, you're our friend.
I know.
And we love you. And you're so beautiful.
Real world friend.
Like real people, not even just online.
Nope.
Yes, real life. And you're, no, but you're so beautiful.
I got the real number.
And the real name. We're Facebook friends.
Oh, yeah, Facebook friends.
Ooh, all four of us.
Right?
And the Dirties.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I am not hiding anything anymore. Like, one day, someone said something to me a little bit snotty, and I said, hey, guess what? I don't have anything to hide, and I know where you live.
Wow.
So,
and we're meeting at my house later?
Yeah. No, but you know what I mean? It's like, whatever. I don't care anymore. Like, I don't have anything to hide. I'm still not going to, you know, show my mom or any of my relatives or any of my friends any, like, pictures, any nasty, you know, naughty pictures or anything. But we don't lie. Like, we don't lie anymore. We tell our friends and our family where we're going.
And other aspects of kink. If people want to know, they'll say more. And, you know, you can tell sort of who not to mention stuff around.
Yes. My 80-year-old uncle who's a minister.
he's like, he's talking to me about hunting and fishing. And at that time, I was
thinking about Daddy.
Yes.
I actually was thinking about her in the new collar with the bell on it. But I went back to talking about fishing and hunting with him.
And whatnot.
There's no need to hide stuff. Just even this morning with her cousin had a couple comments, and she's just like, yeah.
And we were talking about the charitable calendar, and that came up. And he asked questions about what did each thing mean, like what's a munch and whatever and all this thing. So it was a big deal. I know you guys want to talk about all the time about poly and monogamy. So hopefully we can come back around to that.
I don't have a problem with the way that our discussion has gone, because I think that these topics are best defined by actions.
Yes.
And so having you guys on and really talking about your relationship and what it is and what it's evolving as and what you were before and how you maintain it, I think is ideal, so that they can understand what monogamy today means for you two.
Yes.
Because monogamy today for somebody else is going to be different.
Oh, definitely.
You know, so it's difficult otherwise to really get into the definition, because I think that it's very, very easy for us to fall into the assumption that monogamy is that very vanilla definition.
Yes.
And I think that we can each define whatever our relationship is, whatever works for the partner at the given time.
Yes.
With the understanding that we as human beings are designed to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is something that just came up right now. That I just thought of. But one of the things that I've noticed is so different about, you know, poly and monogamy, just having these things having to mesh. You have to consider so many other people in the choices you make in your own relationships. You know, with each individual relationship, you're not just considering yourself and that one other person. You also must consider the 3 or 4 or 5 other people who would be involved or affected by the decisions that you make in that relationship. And that's what gives us, I think, in monogamy, this sort of monogamy, the only two people that need to be considered are the two of us.
Right.
And that goes with not just like relationship decisions, but all decisions in life. Like whether it be who's getting on the guest list for the wedding, who's, you know, what, as any of that, anything whatsoever.
You have kosher available.
Exactly. We do have a veggie meal. One of his brothers is a professional hippie.
So. This does not surprise me.
So we do have to have one veggie meal, which I'm excited about. You know what? I'm going to tell you one thing. I fucking love this dude. Like, his family is so awesome. Like, his dad calls him number one, because he's the, you know, oldest boy, his number one son. And it's like the way he signs off from emails, and his brothers are just like cool and they're awesome. They call each other and they chat it up, and they're just like, you know, everybody has been so welcoming. All of his friends, all of his family. Just like everybody. It's totally fucking awesome. Sorry, but we do have one veggie. For one professional hippie.
No, I mean,
who's
I mean,
totally awesome, by
it's,
the way.
It's one of those things where you for my opinion is that you can't jump into poly until you've got
your mono basis relationship together. Yes.
Because poly isn't just complicated plus one. It's complicated to the whatever exponent. It becomes exponentially more complicated.
Yes.
It's never.
It doesn't fix. If there's a problem, it doesn't fix a problem. It just throws another layer of shit onto the pile.
Yeah. And you also ignore it. You're like, yes. Oh, well, now I'm focusing on this relationship. And then you ignore the other relationship.
Yes.
You're ignoring your basic relationship because partners are looking at other people where they're finding whatever happiness that they didn't have in the original one. And that's not right.
I mean, I will say this, is that he and I are definitely monogamous in the sense of it's just us. And especially right now, we're still building this relationship. It's new. We're like, we've moved on to so many new levels, but it's still so new. And it's fun. Like, I know he's my, you know, he's my Uncle Fred. But
I actually get that reference.
I know. But, or as other people say, he's my lobster, you know.
Yeah,
but
it's not a kinky reference, people.
Exactly. But I do know that, like, if you have other people to consider, it will change the way you, and it should. Because if you are committed to all of these people, the way that it would affect everyone else should definitely be important to you. Mm-hmm. So I'm not putting that down, but at the same time, we only have to worry about one another. Like, I know that he has a crush on a certain Brooklynite with amazing tits. And I know there's a lot of flirting with those too. And it would not bother me. And actually, I encouraged in a couple of times, like early on when we were doing like swap Skyping. I got to watch Lola give hubby or D Hubs a blowjob. It was amazing. And so, you know, it was like, and it made me think of like when he and I, when Daddy and I were having sex, I'd be like, you should do that to Lola. And I was like, she'd like that. Like, and that was like, that's our own thing. But it doesn't mean that we're not monogamous still. Like, I hope that, you know, they get a little brown chicken, brown cow going on.
You came up with the idea of when we find somebody who we might be interested in, either I might be interested in for me alone or for both of us, or she, you know, same way.
Any combination of the interested.
Right, any of those. And the thing that she came to me with was, we need to discuss this between ourselves before we approach that person. And that, it opens up a door for a possibility, but it's still
controlled.
Right. And, you know, because I can see
Mala,
the
I want to control him, but I mean, like,
no,
it's
but
a controlled situation.
We're in each other's business and not in a bad way, in a way that we both want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just want to point out that she finished his sentence, and that was kind of cute.
She does. Like I said, we're on the same page for a lot of stuff. So I'm not going to take it as a slight if I'm over here being high and rambling on, and she can get to it before I can finish, and I'm like, thank you, in my head. You know, that might bother some people, but...
it's a display of how open and honest the communication is between you two.
Oh, totally.
It's not just because, you know, it's not because you're predictable. It's not because, you know, she knows you super well. It's just that you're both on the same page because you fucking talk about shit
all the time. I over communicate, and it's a problem. It's a problem for so many people, like, because they don't want to talk to you that much, or they don't want to know your deep feelings for, and it doesn't even necessarily mean romantic or friendship or anything else, but they really just like, hey, just say hi and keep it moving, ma'am. And that's like, you know, like, no, I don't care. Like, but when I have friends, when I have friendships, when I know that it wouldn't be more hurtful to the relationship and it's the way that it is for me to say it than not say it, then I'm saying it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind telling my friends, you really hurt my feelings and I thought that was rude, or, you know, that sort of thing. Just like, and with him, I know I have to, I want to tell him how I feel about something. It took me a while, like early on when we first started dating, he didn't know about my Twitter account and or my blog or Fat Life or any of that stuff. But me, the, you know, chronic over-tweeter, was always, he saw the handle, Jesus. And like was like,
what are you doing all the time?
Tweet.
God damn it, you're with
me. I was tweeting about fucking you all the time.
She was.
Because it was, like, oh my God.
Put your phone down and fucking hang out.
Yeah.
They get you the rest of the time. You're mine now.
But I mean, seriously.
To your point.
So much fucking.
Okay, what can we, I'm trying to like be deep and shit. Now you want to talk about sex? Well, that guy's gonna be deep. It depends. I've heard the word magnum be thrown around, but I don't want to get into that. Anyway.
Got this golden ticket.
To your point, being emotionally honest and intimate,
yes,
can be very draining.
Yes.
And so you're right. People sometimes just want to do the drive-by. Keep it all surface, because it takes time and dedication and work.
If I care about someone, I definitely am putting in the effort to
talk to you about it. Some people are unable to do that in their lives at that moment.
Right. Yes.
And we have days like that. It's not like we're some couple of emotional superheroes or something. We have both said, you know, when the other person has started bringing up a topic, it's like, you know, I'm just spent right now.
Yeah.
Either I'm tired or I'm grumpy from this phone call or what the fuck ever. Can we just shelve this? And it's not like in other relationships, you might shelve stuff and leave it shelved.
Yeah.
But we're really good about coming back to whatever it is and revisiting it and being honest about it. I feel very fortunate every day that I don't have to sugarcoat shit with her.
No, but I will say in the beginning, like me always expressing myself, I think he thought like, oh fuck, you know, like I was badgering him, and I had to, like, it took me a while to explain to him, like, I mean nothing, I mean no malice by telling you that I didn't feel comfortable coming here like within this number of hours after your date was here. Like, I always felt like I wanted the apartment to air out, like, one full day. But he was like, come over. And I was like, I don't want to. Like, that chick just left. Like, it was, like, within a couple of hours. Yeah. And I was just, like, not, like, no hate on her. But I just didn't want to be, like, in that same energy from just a couple of hours ago. But I was like, you know what? I'll stop by. And I stopped by and I hung out for a little while. And it was, like, really, like, kind of getting to me, not at all because she'd been there, but because I didn't, like, stand up and say, like, I know I'm not coming. I don't want to come over tonight. It's not a big deal, but I just don't want to tomorrow, because that was the plan, was I'd come over the next day. And he was like, no, please, come on, just come by real quick, and maybe we'll watch Misfits, or maybe we'll just hang out. And I was like, okay. And then I was there, and I was just like, man, fuck this shit. Like, I didn't want to come for a reason. And it's not because I didn't want, you know, this girl to have her time with him. I was very cautious, and I don't know, Captain Pissgums will remember, because I remember early on, I was like, I was very cautious about contacting him during his date, or when he was with, you know, hanging out with this other girl. I never wanted to encroach on his time with her.
She was very clear about that too. Likewise, she, you know, wanted the same back and forth.
The same rules, you know, like, when I'm with you, you're just with me. And I'm not saying it in a nasty way, like, girl, you know, back up out of here type of thing. But at the same time, it was like, you have your time and I'll have mine, and that's it. It's not a big deal. Because if I'm off with someone else, then same thing. Like, I'm not going to be, like, texting you or calling you and saying, hey, I wish you were here type of thing. Because it's rude to the person that you're with. And it's stupid for you. Why be out with someone else when you're thinking about another person?
That's a good way to say it. Because I think that sort of happened enough to both of us that other people just, and not in a bad way, but just fell off. Because we each found ourselves thinking about each other.
Yeah.
And it really, nothing was forced. It was just this very organic thing that built.
It just developed.
And the only secret, and it's not even a secret, the only, you know, thing to share that I could think of is the importance of the open communication.
Yes.
Because if you can't talk to somebody, then you can't even think about staying with that person for a long time.
Yes.
I mean, it's
absolutely.
We're at the point now where there's nothing I can think of that I wouldn't bring up to her. We know really good and really bad stuff about each other.
Open door bathroom use?
Yes.
Yeah. It just happened one day.
That's a big thing.
I may get a kiss on the forehead while I'm pooping.
Well, you guys live together. That you should.
We're totally inappropriate. We're like, whatever.
Once you cross the barrier of living together, that has to happen. There's no way around that. Dutch oven.
Do you ever Dutch oven her? Yeah.
You Dutch oven him?
Yes.
Oh! That's awesome.
I am one of five children. I may not like be hip on sports and all of this hip hop music and whatnot, but I know about a Dutch oven. And a wet willy.
She's black. This hip hop music.
What?
Now you understand why I call her Ashley Banks.
No, I always understood that.
What up, Santa Barbara?
No. Yeah. So.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, I don't know.
Very, very white.
I'm not. I'm totally not, by the way. So I have natural hair.
She does.
Wait, so that makes you what? Black, white? I'm confused.
No, I'm not. No, like, this is just who I am.
I'm a white girl. I don't get it.
She has woolen hair like Jesus of the Bible.
Of Bible
years and years ago, my best friend was black, and I loved her to death. And there were these black girls who didn't like that she was my best friend because I was a white girl.
Yeah, and I had that happen.
They tried to like break us up as friends, and so these black girl groups went to her. Her name was Katrina, and told her that I said something really nasty about her.
Oh, that's terrible.
So Katrina came up to me and said, "They told me you said my hair was nappy."
Was
and
it?
I just looked at her and I said, "Have you ever heard me say the word nappy? I don't even know what nappy is. What the fuck is nappy?" So there
no.
you go.
No, care. But no, seriously. Like, just to, like, I'm black. I'm African-American. I'm proud of my heritage and my family. And I know all of the, I took, you know, African-American literature.
Wow.
And I'm familiar
so did
with.
Have you read Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison? Because now that makes me an expert on all things black.
Why is my blackness in question here?
I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm just not hip.
I have a question.
I know MC Hammer.
Oh, wow.
Okay, hurry up, lady.
Your relationship up until now has been evolving. I mean, even just us as your friends, like, we've seen you guys, like, just kind of go, like,
just saying that with giddy eyes.
But, I mean, 5 years from now, where do you hope to see your relationship?
Are we going to see the little mocha-colored babies?
No.
No, I got fixed like a kitty.
Oh.
He loves saying that. And I do. I just, I'm like, don't say that.
Yeah, in 5 years, I see us in a bigger apartment, having the same
view. No, we can't.
Well, we can stay there.
Yeah.
We'll get two apartments.
No, I'm just kidding.
In the same building. Anyway, we need more space. That's what I'm getting at. But I see us in, I don't want to make it sound stagnant, but really in the same place.
Yeah.
With being each other's support, best friend, pokey stick when you need motivation. And we have each other's back.
Lover.
She's going to be my baby in 5 years. She's going to have that one.
And he's going to be my daddy still in five years.
That platinum collar I was looking at.
No, but you know, in 5 years, like, I agree with him that says, I agree with him as far as being in the same place that we are now. Like, in the sense that nothing, I don't see it getting different in any sense of, you know, the relationship itself. I think we'll still be each other's one and only biggest focus, you know, still encouraging one another to progress in our own lives and with our own friends and family and all of those things, just being one another's anchor. I see that still being the case. I love our life. I don't, you know, we're not, obviously, there will be no children, but not that I needed any children. I love being single, free to be able to just to jump up and run out and not wake up until when, you know, noon and not have to feed any other people.
I think it's about the journey. It's, you know, it to sound hokey, it's a journey, not a destination.
Yes.
You know, and you say, where are you going to be in 5 years? There's not a place I can think of. Like, we're not going from A to XYZ over here. We'll be moving in the same direction. We'll be still have each other's back. We'll still have each other's hearts and mind and well-being. Just moving forward. If I know that sounds like a non-answer, but that's really
it's an answer.
Perfect.
Okay, cool.
Perfect.
Wow. Like, this sounds like a line of shit, but it really isn't. I mean, every day I feel like the luckiest boy around. Not only do I have a beautiful woman who's got my back, she's intelligent, and when the time is right, she knows her fucking place, and she's a great little fuck toy. So, I mean, what more could a fella ask for?
Right.
And it's just come about naturally, unforced, and, you know, we weren't looking for this. We're just lucky.
Well, thank you. We're really out of time. Thank you so much, Gypsy and Phoebe, for coming on. We love you both.
We love you too.
And we love you.
This is This has been a good episode. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad we did it. I'm really glad. And I'm really glad we had the topic. You know, because monogamy needs some attention too.
Yeah.
It's not the bastard stepchild of the kinky world.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're the Love Bite. I'm on Twitter at Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And there's our music.